With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. You've no doubt been to restaurants that only accept cash. But what if you walked into a store that didn't allow cash? That's becoming more common, and cities around the country are doing something about it. We've got details coming up. First, these money and market stories you should know. The Federal Reserve says the total net worth of U.S. households fell 3.5% during the fourth quarter of 2018 to about $104.3 trillion. You can chalk it up for the most part to stock market turbulence. The S&P 500 gave up the 9% gain it pocketed during the first three quarters of last year to wind up down about 6% for all of 2018. Meanwhile, total consumer credit increased by $17 billion in January to a seasonally adjusted $4.03 trillion. That's an annual growth rate of 5.1%. It's a reflection of income growth and consumer optimism. Specifically, use of revolving credit, such as credit cards, rose by 2.9% after a 1.1% gain in December, and non-revolving credit, which includes things like auto and student loans, rose 5.9% in January for the second straight month. And the Labor Department is expected to release its proposed rules on overtime pay as soon as this month. It would set a new salary threshold below which, in most cases, workers must be paid time and a half, regardless of their role at a company. Labor attorneys expect that level to come in at near $35,000 a year, and that would be an increase from the $23,660 threshold that was set in 2004. That was the last time it was raised. But it would be below the $47,476 a year level that President Obama's administration sought in 2016. A federal judge halted that rule from being implemented in December of 2016. Earlier this week on Your Money Briefing, we mentioned Philadelphia as the first U.S. city to ban cashless stores. Let's go a little deeper into that story with Scott Calvert. He's the Wall Street Journal reporter who wrote the story, and he's on the line with us. So, Scott, the Philadelphia law takes effect in July. It would require stores to accept cash as one of numerous forms of payment, but there are exceptions.
That's right. So the law says that it doesn't apply to parking garages, wholesale clubs like BJ's or Costco, rental car companies, hotels where you often usually need a credit card on file for incidentals. And there was an attempt actually to make a carve out for Amazon, which has this convenience store model that they call Amazon Go, in which you use your smartphone to when you walk into the store, and you have to have an Amazon account, and then it automatically tracks what you're taking off the shelves as you get the sandwich or cupcake or whatever it may be. And then when you leave, you don't stand in line, you don't pay anybody, you just walk out and it automatically charges your account. And they tried to, as I say, make an exemption for that. But apparently the issue is that they use the word membership in that particular part of the law. And while you do need to be an Amazon account holder, you don't need to have a Prime membership. And so according to the city, Amazon doesn't think that that exemption would apply to it. So there seems to be some concern on Amazon's part.
So we'll see that unfold in the Philadelphia level. And at the state level, Massachusetts has also stepped forward into this fray.
Right. Well, Massachusetts actually has had a law along these lines going all the way back to the 1970s. But they may not be the only state with a law of this sort for long, because the New Jersey legislature recently passed a similar bill, and it's now sitting on the desk of Governor Phil Murphy. His spokesman, you know, declined to comment when we asked whether he plans to sign it or not. And there's also a similar bill to the one in Philadelphia that is working its way through the New York City Council. So there seems to be a backlash, I guess, among lawmakers to this small but growing trend of retailers going cashless.
This really does shed a light on the struggle between the progress of technology and innovation and then being careful not to marginalize some consumers from the marketplace.
Right. Well, for a lot of people, you know, if you walk into a store that is cashless, as long as you have your wallet or purse with you, it's no big deal. You know, many of us have multiple credit or debit cards that we could use, but there are people who don't. And that's the concern, that, you know, as this technology moves forward and stores make this move away from accepting cash, that, you know, you're going to perhaps inadvertently shut some people out of the marketplace because they just don't have a credit or debit card.
And I would imagine stores don't want to just assume losing a sale because a person only has cash.
Right. I mean, they certainly don't want to lose any sales. But, you know, I spoke to the co-owner of a falafel shop in Philadelphia that doesn't accept cash at one of its locations at the University of Pennsylvania. And he said it's extremely rare that they have a situation where the customer doesn't have a credit or debit card. And so for them, it isn't an issue. If you talk to like the National Retail Federation, for example, they say that this should be something that businesses can choose on their own what to do, and that the market will essentially sort it out. If a business goes cashless and suddenly starts losing business as a result, odds are they will flip back to taking cash, you know, according to the Federation. And if they don't experience any negative effects, then it may be a model that works for them. But their point is that they don't think that the government should sort of put its thumb on the scale.
And the idea of taking cash is something that some businesses see as a safety measure because of how employees have to handle and manage cash.
Right. Well, you know, when you have a lot of cash, it's got to go somewhere. And so you've got employees having to, you know, maybe walk to the bank to make a deposit. So there's some vulnerability there. Merely having all that cash on site might raise the risk of being a target of a robbery or an insider job where an employee might, you know, dip into the till, so to speak. And the other issue is that they see it as a convenience benefit, not so much for customers, but for them, because, you know, when you don't have to count out change, you can move the line much faster. These transactions occur quickly. At the end of the shift, you know, you don't have to count up all this cash. And so for them, it's a function of speed and efficiency. And particularly if you are a lunch place that does most of your business, you know, during this, maybe the span of 1 hour, every second that you're counting out change or whatever is a potential lost sale or disgruntled customer, whatever. And so the idea is to just keep things moving as quickly as you can.
And when you think about the fact that we hear about data breaches, it seems like every couple of weeks or every couple of months, I would imagine that from the consumer standpoint, sometimes cash is the safest way to go to at least provide peace of mind.
Well, there certainly are people who prefer to pay with cash for that very reason. And it's interesting, you know, one of the recent announcements came from Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. They say that as of March 10th, they are going to be the first NFL stadium to go fully cashless. And that means, you know, you can't buy anything inside the stadium with cash. But they acknowledge that some people aren't comfortable using their cards there. And so they're going to have about 10 kiosks all around the stadium where you can insert your dollar bills, and then you'll get a prepaid debit card with no transaction fee, and then you can go and buy your hot dog or beer or whatever it may be and not have to worry about the privacy issue.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal reporter Scott Calvert on the line for us. Scott, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me on.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.